as I've been studying this area, I mean, the Bible and the Proverbs particularly are so packed, jam-packed with wisdom and knowledge and fear of the Lord. And it's just on my heart to continue. So I hope you're getting something from these messages. I trust that as you search the scriptures and live out daily Christian living, that you're challenged and encouraged to fear the Lord, to walk in His ways. It's an immense blessing. The fear of God is for the wise. It's not for the fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is no fear of God before his eyes. What if that were you or I? What a privilege it is to know God. What a privilege it is to fear God and to come under His word. So let's ask a word of prayer as we come to the word. Father, I thank you for your scripture is filled with life. And as we look into the living word tonight, we come to the living God. We come to the living God of the word. Lord Jesus, you said you are the word. You said you are light, and in you there is no darkness whatsoever. You came as a light into the world, but men who love darkness rather than light rejected you. And as we sung in that hymn, they nailed you to a tree. But Lord Jesus, we have seen you. Lord Jesus, we have looked with spiritual eyes upon Calvary, and we have seen you nailed to a tree in our place. And for that, Lord, we cry, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We come under your word tonight and we pray, Lord, that we would be blessed as we share and partake of this spiritual manna that is before us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks for itself. I pray, Lord, hide me behind your veil tonight and help me to not get in the way of your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the fear of the Lord is for the wise, and you are wise if you are God's. You have His wisdom, heavenly, not earthly. And we've been made wise unto salvation. The Bible speaks of being made wise unto salvation. And you know, you were saved in an instant, and you made a transaction with God. If you are His, if you belong to Him. And when you are saved in an instant, you're counted right before God. Your sins are blotted out in that very instant. You're counted as if you hadn't sinned. Now, God grants and imparts His wisdom. I believe as with salvation, you're counted saved, you're counted wise. You are wise. You have the wisdom of God. But just as we grow in sanctification, just as we grow in purity, because we are saved, we also need to grow in the wisdom, in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of the Holy One. And in Psalm 111, and you probably know this very well, in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is not an earthly wisdom spoken of. This is a heavenly wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is the knowledge of the holy. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. And later on, I want to focus on a bit of how we do. It's not enough to have head knowledge and say, I'm wise. Wise are they who have the knowledge of God and put into practice. Put into practice. That's wisdom. A wise life, a life filled with wisdom, is not just having the knowledge of God and even a very good knowledge of God, but it's putting into practice in daily life that knowledge of God. And by walking in the fear of the Lord, by walking in His ways, you'll have a good understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7 also says, if you just turn over, I've probably got quite a lot of short the Proverbs are very pointed, aren't they? I should have printed a sheet, as you do, Pastor, but I'll get to that one day. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Is that God's fault? No, it's on the fault of the person. It's not God's fault. You can feel sorry for people, and you do. You're sorry that people are apart from God, but it's not God's fault. Man has chosen to rebel. Man has chosen to remain in his sin. Man has chosen to despise wisdom and instruction. The blueprint is there. Man has cast it out. And it's not on the fault of God, on the part of God. It's on the part of man. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's in Proverbs 9:10. And again, on a similar vein, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There it is again. Proverbs 15 and 33, also in a very similar vein. There must have been one writer of this book, the Bible. Proverbs 15, 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. There's the pattern again, isn't it? Humility, wisdom, the fear of God. These are the precepts by which Christian life is lived. And wisdom, and God's fear are inseparable. Wisdom and the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord, they're inseparable. They are like this. They dovetail together. God grants wisdom to those who fear him. And those who fear him have God's wisdom. Remember the proverb, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. These are the great spiritual riches of a life lived before God in humility and in his fear. These are the riches. They are of themselves the riches. The spiritual blessings are of themselves this knowledge of God, this fear of God. These are all gifts that we don't deserve. These are all gifts that are imparted to us as we choose to yield ourselves under God's hand. As we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, these are imparted to us. This wisdom is not earthly. This wisdom is spiritual. It is heavenly. Now, this is God's wisdom, as I've said, a disclaimer. We're not to be wise in our own eyes. The Bible attacks that, comes down on that. Men fear him, and therefore men fear him, Job says. He shows no partiality to any who are wise of heart. And the Proverb 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's not what I say about myself, what I feel about myself, what I think about myself. It's what God says of me. It's what God thinks of me. That countenance that we heard of this morning, that countenance that God has toward us. And those who are in Christ, those who are his and belong to him, his countenance is of a radiant smile. It is of a radiant, joy-filled acceptance of his beloved, because we are accepted in the beloved. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So this wisdom is clearly not man's wisdom. It's not just intellect, not just knowledge. It's not how I see myself, whether I see myself as wise or otherwise. But it is the knowledge of God. It is to fear God and walk in his ways. James describes this wisdom. There's a few verses in the book of James, just as we turn there in James, particularly in James 3 and 17, wisdom is described that the wisdom that is from above, this is the wisdom we're talking about when we talk on the fear of the Lord, that wisdom is first pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Sounds like the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, doesn't it? This is the wisdom that is from above. This is this spiritual gift that we can operate in and be counted wise before God and grow in wisdom and in stature. And James also adds, and earlier in the piece, that we be doers of the word and not hearers only. Remember, when we put that knowledge of God into practice, that's wisdom. When you put the knowledge, not just the head knowledge of God, it's good to know about Him. But when you face life, walking with Him, that's where the rubber really meets the road, doesn't it? In our daily life, and when we make wise choices, when we live as wise, you know, the fear of God is this secret. It's this secret ingredient. As Pastor shared this morning, you've got to have that ingredient. Otherwise, the recipe is messed up. There's no substitute for the fear of the Lord in your and my life. There's no substitute for it. There's no faking it. It's the reality of God. We need to know God. We need to fear Him on a daily basis and walk in His ways. As we walk in His ways, as we fear Him, we grow in this wisdom. We put this into practice, into application. Wisdom. I would liken it to knowledge of God put into action in one's life. That is, the knowledge of God from His Word put into application in the Christian's life by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is wisdom. Remember the unlearned men who didn't really have the head knowledge. Now it's good to have head knowledge. Who weren't really trained, who weren't educated. It's good to be trained, it's good to be educated. But these men, they stand before the people in Acts 4:12 and they speak boldly. They speak wisdom from God. They're not speaking head knowledge. They're not just speaking about, they're speaking from experience. They've met God. They know God. They walk with God. They fear God. And so when they speak, the men marvel and say, and they took note. Remember in Acts 4 and verse 12 and 13 and 14, in those verses, they see the boldness of Peter and John and perceived these were uneducated, untrained men. And they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Isn't that what the Christian life is? You know, people, they're not going to be, we need to know the Word and we need to be trained and educated in the Word. We need to know God. But people, you know, they're not looking for that. They're not looking for your level of knowledge. They're looking for reality. Looking for reality. And these men, they had reality. So when you met these men, they knew, they marveled, because they spoke things that were not possible in the natural. This is not possible in the natural realm. That those men who were so untrained could stand before the trained rulers and the people of that day and stand before the Pharisee and stand before the scribe and say, I know God. I know God. I walk with God. I fear God, and expound the Scriptures. And they were amazed. They were, they marveled, the Bible says. And they realized, it dawned on them, hey, weren't these two men that walked with Jesus? Isn't that a good thing to have of one's life, a testimony where men can say, you know, that so-and-so walks with Jesus. How can a man live this way? How can a man speak this way? It's not of us, friend. We're not wise in our own eyes. We don't boast. There's nothing to boast in. It's all of God. You know, these men who spoke, they had received the wisdom from above, this wisdom which was firstly pure. They practiced what they had received. They were counted wise before God. The fear of the Lord, the wisdom of God are inseparable. Now, just a short switch. We all probably know the book of Jonah pretty well. All the boys have disappeared. I looked up and they're all gone. They're down there. I hope you're paying attention, sons. Remember the book of Jonah. And in the book of Jonah, we have an account of some other fishermen. And these mariners, these are the men that they had many gods. They're, you know, the religions of the world. People have multiple gods and idols, don't they? And the mariners, it's just an interesting story on the fear of God. The book of Jonah really is, as you read it. And every man in the book of Jonah, verse 5, as the, you know, the tempest is on the sea and the ship is about to be broken up. They're crying. Every man is crying out to his God to save him. You know, this world, my heart breaks. There could be as many as 100,000 lost today in the Philippines. 100,000 souls. Who are they crying out to as the wave and the tempests are raging about them? I pray they would know God. I pray they'd be crying out to the living God. But look at God's grace and mercy. These are people who are superstitious. They're superstitious. They're multiple gods. They're crying out to their gods. Jonah's asleep. You know, the man of God, he's asleep. And everyone is crying out to his God, little g. And the captain comes down and rouses him. Get up, you sleeper. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will save you. Come on. Join in. Cry out. And we know the story. They cast lots. And Jonah then confesses. He confesses and he's found out. He says in verse 9, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and who made the dry land. And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? Why have you done this? The reality set in that God is real. You know, those little g gods that they served couldn't save them. And the reality is setting in the face of this crisis, that there is a real God who's to be feared. He controls the sea. As we heard this morning, he controls the fire. He allows things to come. Nothing is done. Not that sparrow falls down without him knowing it. Remember our key verse in this whole series. We're in the seventh sermon. I'm hoping to take it to next year because it's wonderful. This is the fear of the Lord. It's a treasure. It's a joy. It's a secret. And we'll never get to the end of it, though we live 100 years. And so, you know, these sailors are afraid. They said, why have you done this? They throw him overboard. And look what they do in verse 14. This is very interesting. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, capital L. There's a switch. They were crying out to a little g, and now they're calling out to the Hebrew God. You know, these are superstitious men. Who is God? Can you have multiple gods? Who is the God of heaven and earth who controls the tempest? And the Hebrew God, he is the God. He is the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're sitting here under his word tonight. And most of this community, I hate to say it, are fools. They've rejected the counsel of God. Wayne will tell you, you knock on 100 doors and maybe one will shed a glimmer of hope. Amazing grace. Nevertheless, they cried out to God, we pray, O Lord, please not let us perish for this man's life. Do not lay his innocent blood to our charge. They're showing, they're exemplifying signs of fearing God. You know, they're exemplifying signs and reality of fearing the living God. They're saying, do not charge us for innocent blood. How did they know that? For your Lord have done as it pleased you. How could they exclaim that? So they pick up Jonah, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then verse 16 says, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. That was just a short switch, but I don't know why I did that, but it was just in my heart to share it. The fear of the Lord. Look at that. Look at that transition. We need to know wisdom. These men who had multiple gods began to fear the true and the living God, the God of heaven and earth. And they were made wise unto salvation. They were saved. They were saved from this tempest. They had knowledge of the holy. They feared the Lord exceedingly, the Bible says. The living God. They feared him exceedingly. How may God reveal himself to the people who are facing the tempests right now across Asia. As those typhoons are sweeping through, may those who have so many gods, those who have so many idols on those shelves, oh, may God reveal himself and save them. They may cry out may cry out to Him. You know, the wisdom of God comes from His Word. We're in a land that is blessed, that is saturated with the Word of God. Saturated with the Word of God. You know, the Lord instructed His people. He instructed the kings and His people to learn the fear of the Lord, learn it from His Word. Remember in Deuteronomy 17, and God is describing here in verse 18, when the king, when he says, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Why would he read it? Why should he read it? Why shall he by command read it? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or hand or to the left, and so forth. We find instruction in the Word of God. All these proverbs that I read out before. We learn to fear God. We learn to grow in His knowledge, and we are made wise. We grow in wisdom. The true fear of the Lord. Now, I want to just look at some benefits of the fear of God, the third part of this message. The first part was that introduction about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, that little excerpt from Jonah. And now, let's look at the wise versus the fool, because this is how the Bible teaches it. We must be wise. We need to be wise in daily affairs. As we come under the Word, you know, we can avoid shipwreck by being wise, by making wise decisions. We avoid shipwreck. Yes, God saves people. Yes, God keeps people. But so much tempest, so unnecessary storm of life, because people make foolish decisions. Christians make foolish choices. They don't follow the Word of God. They have shipwreck in financial situations, in marriage, in rearing of children, in so many areas of life, in countless, countless areas of life. It's the grace of God, yes. But God's instruction is to fear Him and to grow in wisdom and to be wise. Remember the proverb, and our children learnt this, we went over this numerously. He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I don't know where that is. I just know, Pastor, you probably know where it is. But he who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's very evident, isn't it? It's very obvious. But in reality, how is that played out? In reality, he who walks with the wise shall be wise. If you put your children and yourself in an environment where there are godly influences in their life, where there are those who are around them, who will support them in the things of God, who are not rejecters and haters of God, who do not reject this gospel and blaspheme it, if you put your children and yourself in the companion of fools, you will be destroyed. You will have shipwreck. This is a reality. This is a careful thing with my children, for example. It's a careful thing. I don't just take them out of the world and you know, they are separate and then I lock them in their rooms. But I monitor their lives. And as a father, as a watchman in the house, which God has called us men to be, I am careful with those who they interact with. I am very careful because a lot of children hate God. A lot of children blaspheme God. And if my children are in the companion of fools, they will injure, they will shipwreck. I monitor that by putting them in an influence of children. And as they play with worldly children and interact with worldly children, I am careful that more of what they are learning rubs off on the other children. But when I see more of what this world has got rubbing off on my children, I pull them back. I pull them back. I intervene. We must be wise. We must be wise. We don't shut the doors and close our children in. But we must be wise. There is a world out there of fools. You don't want your children up growing up to be foolish, to be fools. You want them to be wise. You want them to know God. You want them to fear God and to grow in the knowledge of the holy. Thank you, brother. So it is there. It is Bible. This is Bible. Some of it's memory verses, and I'm terrible at remembering references. It's a shocking fault I have. But I remember scripture. I just don't know where it is. I know it's there somewhere. He who walks with the wise shall be wise. Ah, we need that. We need our children. We need... It's not about being some secluded group, cutting ourselves away in the hills, cutting ourselves off from civilization. It's about fearing God and walking in His ways. And where there are those in my children's life, in their sphere of influence, who are God blasphemers and are rejecting God, I pull my children back, instruct them to love, but I pull them back. I pull myself away. I do not want to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The Bible says in Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That unequalness, isn't it? It's inferring that they are influencing you more than you're influencing them. That's important. He who walks with the wise shall be wise. The fool fears the winter. This is the next point. The fool fears the winter in a sense of the Proverbs, but the wise has a stored up supply like the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Learn from his ways. In Proverbs 28 and verse 19 and 20, it says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. He who tills his land, last month, I think it was, I shared on the blessing of God and his provision. How, we are to fear God, walk in his ways, and to work hard. To work hard, to give our all to to the task at hand. Not to be slothful. Be diligent. Be zealous. And he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. He who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. So there's a precept there, isn't there? We are not to be foolish in finance or in decisions surrounding work and finance. I worked with a guy who he got his paycheck on Thursday and he went out Thursday night shopping and spent the whole paycheck. He was an interesting character, but there he was. The Proverbs 31 woman isn't like that. The Proverbs 31 woman, she goes to Maya when the sales are on. She gets quality clothes at a fraction of the price. Buys it out of season and so on. But there's a precept here, isn't there? And the Proverbs are filled with wisdom. Wisdom in every sphere of life. Remember the Proverbs surrounding how we are to speak and how we are to present ourselves. It says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. The fool speaks his own mind. We're in a free country. I can speak my whole mind. I can speak it when I want to, how I want to. The wise conceals it to after. It's not good to speak everything that's on your mind or heart right away. Think about it. Pray about it. Am I going to hurt someone by it? Is this the opportune time for it? Well, you need wisdom and discretion. We need wisdom and discretion. We can cause contention and strife and disputes and all kinds of things. Remember the proverb says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I was thinking to do this as a project. I can just picture a silver frame with these gold apples bobbing off strings. Maybe they saw that at Coorong already, I don't know, but there would be a nice verse underneath that. apples of gold in settings of silver, a word fitly spoken. But foolishness, isn't it the opposite? Isn't it quite the opposite? The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. There might only be two or three people listening, and the thousands are going after the fools, the millions, the multitudes. But the wisdom is here. The wisdom is in this book. This is the book of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is where we learn to fear Him. This is where we learn to live for Him, to walk in His ways. And then if you know Him, the lips, your lips will disperse knowledge. But there may only be a few listening. It doesn't matter. It's not in the results either. God knows what's going on in their hearts. But as you walk in wisdom, as you grow in wisdom and in the fear of God, your lips can be wise. You can disperse knowledge. And what's that knowledge you're dispersing? It's the knowledge of the holy. It's the knowledge of the holy. This is a day and an age where frivolity and stupidity and foolishness is glorified. We need to disperse knowledge. We need to know God and to speak for Him. And there's so many more. Probably need to take a few sermons across this. The fool doesn't labor. The wise is diligent. The fool says in his heart there is no God. The wise considers the universe and says and sings, "My God, how great thou art." The fool enjoys pleasures that last only a season. The wise abide in the joy of their Lord. The fool doesn't care for his soul, let alone for the souls of others. The fool doesn't care for his own soul, let alone the souls of others. But he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise, says the proverb. How can you cry for the lost? How can you weep for the dying? If you're a fool, you can't. A fool himself is deceived and doesn't know he's lost. The fool shall fear when the end of the world comes. Not fear God, but he shall fear the terror and the destruction. But the wise shall be taken up to glory. And God, who is eternally wise and unsearchable, how great are His thoughts toward us. He calls us to draw near to Him. He calls those who fear Him to draw near to Him. You know, as Esther boldly approached the throne, remember the scepter was put out for her. But if it wasn't, she would have been killed. She would have been killed, put to death. She came before the king without an invitation. But we have an invitation. And we come before the king. And he holds out his scepter to us. He says, "Come and learn of me. Come and get wisdom. Come and get knowledge." And that is a life well lived. As Esther drew near, what was there? There was awe and dread and fear, but faith. Faith. There is an awesomeness to coming to God, to coming before His presence, to walking in His ways. But the Bible says to come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace, seeking mercy in our time of need. I pray as His people, we would grow in wisdom, knowledge, and in the fear of our Lord.